Welcome. Amen. Welcome. Thank you. Man, I'm so glad that you are here, and if you are a part of our online campus, could we just welcome, I'm telling you, there's thousands of people from all over the world logged on right now. Would you welcome them with us? Love you guys so, so much. Well, Father, thank you for helping me to speak today and to share with simplicity and accuracy and just plain sanity. Thank you for the renewing of our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I began a new series, and we're entitling it Mind Renewal, or the Renewing of Our Minds. And this is a very important part of the Christian life, the Christian walk, is understanding the power and importance of the renewing now of our minds. And so in this particular session, I want to talk about the change that takes place in our lives once we make Jesus the Lord of our life, and this transformation and how it begins. And so that's what we're going to look at. I believe in this session, God wants to blow your mind with His goodness and His mercy and His kindness toward us and His incredible love for us. And the Lord wants to blow our minds, our carnal, unrenewed minds and thoughts, with His thoughts. And yet many people get born again, even filled with the Spirit, and do not understand the continual process of God renewing our minds to His thoughts, displacing our old thoughts from our old life and replacing them with His thoughts, and how that changes our lives. So we're going to walk through some of this again together. The power of the Christian life, we've already stated this, but this is important. The power of the Christian life does not come from the mind, but it does come through the mind. You're not going to see the power and blessings of God flowing in your life if you don't agree with God. That's a part of your mind. If you don't think in line with God, if you don't allow God to even restructure your emotions about certain issues, you're going to hinder the power of God and the flow of God in your life. That's the way we were designed. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, we see man and the creation of man here, and look at how we were created. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living soul, a spirit soul. Now, I don't know exactly how this happened. I've pictured it in my own mind. It's obvious that he formed us, or man, out of the dust of the earth. And within that was man's body, but also within that creation was man's mind. And your mind is an awesome creation of God. The imagination of man, the creativity of man, the intellect of man, the brain and the nuances of your brain and how your brain works is absolutely incredible. And yet there was no life until God breathed the breath of life. Breath there is spirit. I sort of picture it again as God picked the man up, looked at him face to face, and went right into his nostril. He breathed breath, or spirit. And when his spirit combined with his soul, he became a living soul. Everything came to life. See, the life of the Christian comes from the spirit, not the soul. The power of the Christian life, the blessings of the Christian life, the ability to live for God and serve God and fulfill his divine purpose for your life, all of that comes from your spirit, not your soul, but it does have to come through your soul. And so the soul needs to be renewed. Jesus spoke in John 6:63, how that it's the spirit that quickens or makes alive. The flesh profits us nothing. His word was spirit and life. So see, what gives you life is your spirit, not your body. That's why at what we call death, when your spirit and your soul come out of your body, what happens to your body? It's dead. It's lifeless. It has no life of its own. And so it is with the soul, as far as having life of its own, that leads to God's purposes for our life. And so we have to be renewed and continually being renewed in the spirit of our mind. All right, after salvation, the most important thing in your life is the renewing of your mind. Now, if you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, the things I'm saying can help you, they can encourage you. But until you get Christ in you, the hope of glory, nothing else really matters because that affects eternity. So we all need to make Jesus Lord of our life. We need to believe God raised him from the dead and confess him as Lord so we can be saved. But once that happens and eternity is secured for us, we have to understand the importance now of the renewing of our minds. In Romans 8:6, I drew this graph for you, trying to explain spirit, soul, and body. In Romans 8:6, the Bible says to Christians, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So see, your mind can lean to carnality, lean to the and toward the body, flesh, your five senses, and being controlled by your five physical senses and the natural circumstances of life, and that's being carnal, that always leads to a form of death. Or your mind can choose to lean toward the spirit and be spiritually minded, and that will lead to life and peace. Now, I say these things not to hurt anyone's feelings or offend you, for sure. And I'm speaking about my own self when I say this. If you're not experiencing anything but life and peace right now, it's because your mind is not on the Lord. It's carnal. You're being carnally minded. And I'm not condemning you for being carnally minded. We all at times are carnally minded. And there's times I go home and want to be carnally minded. Amen. There are many times I go home and I don't even want to think. And I don't know if you figured it out yet, but you can't put your mind in neutral. Now, some of you are acting like your mind is in neutral, but you can't just not think. And so you're either leaning toward your senses and the natural and thinking on the natural, and that's carnally minded and it's death, or you're leaning and thinking on God and his kingdom and spiritual things, and that leads to life and peace. So anytime I'm feeling anything but life and peace, I know my mind's not really on the Lord. I may even be thinking about God, but how I'm thinking about God isn't right, or I'd have life and peace. And I'll be teaching some of those things as we go through this. So the soul, notice how the soul is overlapped and connected to your spirit. And notice how the soul is overlapped and connected to your body. And so see, the soul by choice can be spirit-minded. That's a choice, life and peace. Or the soul can be carnally minded, and that leads to death. Notice these two do not directly connect. These two are like real planes and realities that are running parallel. It's like the spirit is real. You may be struggling with it. You may be new to this thing called Jesus and the kingdom of God, but God is real. The spirit world is real. Spiritual realities are real, but they're running in the unseen, and if you will, they're running down this aisle. Now there's seen realities that are real that we understand and connect to through our intellect, through our five physical senses, and they're real and they're running down this aisle. These two never intersect. They don't overlap. It's the soul that's in the middle. Your brain is so fantastic, so beautifully created by God. It has the ability to lean to this track and be influenced by this track. Or it has the ability to just keep leaning to the track you have lived by even before you met Jesus, the natural world, and it producing death or depression and discouragement in our lives. And so the soul has that ability. I shared 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper in all things and be in health. Look at that phrase. Even as your soul prospers. How many of you know that your soul prospering is directly connected to God's will and wishes for your life? And yet a lot of people refuse to renew their minds. They refuse to think on God's thoughts. They refuse to accept God's thoughts and displace theirs and the world's and replace it with God's thoughts. And then when things don't work out, listen, they blame God. They're all mad at God. They accuse God. And I'm here to tell you, God doesn't will anything but good for you, but you're going to have to agree with him. You're going to have to let his will, all his goodness, influence your will. You're going to have to quit thinking, and I'm trying to clean up my vernacular and vocabulary, but people are just filled with stinking thinking. They think just like the world. They think like they did before they got saved, and they wonder why things aren't flowing freely in their lives. And then they see other people experiencing the things of God, And somehow or another, they think it's on God's end. It's not on God's end. It's on our end. We've got to change our minds. Man, I appreciate that so much, because we are being corrupted and saturated with lies every day of our life. We are experiencing what I call, I don't know if this is formally called this yet, but I believe we're in the midst still of an information revolution. And just like the Industrial Revolution affected the whole world and how things were done, this information revolution is affecting people profoundly. And people are receiving more so-called knowledge than in the history of the human race, but the knowledge they're receiving at large is falsehoods and lies and corruption. And it's getting in their heart. And then you come along and you try to share God's thoughts with them, and they get all haywire with you. Your brain is affected literally by sin and darkness. In the other services, and I failed in this service to share this, and I asked the Lord to please help me to bring this back because it helps people. I'm just going to say this in passing. But study after study after study on the issue of pornography, and a lot of good people struggle with pornography. A lot of Christians, male now and female, struggle with pornography. And study after study has shown that literally when you participate in pornography, there are chemicals literally released in your brain, and pathways and tracks are laid in your brain that makes it easier for you to yield and easier for you to yield and easier for you to yield. And what happens is a lot of good people see, hey, wait a minute, this isn't right, and I don't want to live this way anymore. But they don't understand their brains have literally been rewired and bent to go that way. Now, if sin can do that, I believe the Holy Spirit can rewire your brain and help you lean the right way. Listen, pornography is a progression, and it may have taken time for your brain to literally be affected by that and imagery ensnare you. It may take a little time for the Holy Spirit and the Word to change those signals and those tracks in your brain, but I believe physically in our brain, God wants to lay down tracks of victory, tracks of His righteousness, tracks of loving people the way they need to be loved, and on I can go. And I say that, and this is my pastoring side of me. I'll say things like that, and you'll be shocked at how many people I help just saying it indirectly instead of trying to do a series on pornography. How many of you are going to show up if I do a series on pornography? I tried to put one together, but I couldn't use my graphics on the screen. We all struggle with something. Can I get a witness? And I'm telling you, your thinking is always directly connected to your emotions, and then your emotions are directly connected to your actions, and then your actions bring death or life into your life. And so we need to get our minds renewed and be having them renewed. All right, Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you by the mercies of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Man, I can't tell you how much I love that. I beseech you, says Paul, I'm begging you to give me your heart. I'm begging you to listen to me and let me help you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Aren't you glad he didn't say, I beseech you by the wrath of God? I'm trying to get your attention, or God's going to punish you, and so I'm beseeching you by the punishment of God. No, I love that. I'm beseeching you by the mercies of God. God loves us dearly, and he wants nothing but good for us, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, or one translation says, your logical service. Do something with your bodies now that you're saved, and do something with your mind. See, your body, dear ones, and I hope I'm saying this right. I'm trying to give illustrations to help. They're not always perfect, but your body has no life of itself. It's what I call amoral. These hands only do what they do depending on where I yield my heart. If I yield my heart to the flesh and become carnally minded and let hate get in my heart, then these hands can turn into fists and come to fisticuffs and hurt somebody. Look at these hands. These are lethal weapons. At least the first hit. I'm going to get the first hit. After that, the jury's out on what will probably happen. But the bottom line, these same hands, watch this, if I yield my heart to Jesus, if I yield my heart to the Word of God, to Spirit, then these same hands yielded to God can be laid on the sick and they recover. These same hands yielded to the flesh can steal your stuff. If yielded to the flesh, yielded to the Spirit. I can use these hands now. And Ephesians chapter 4 says, let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor that which is good in the sight of God, that he may have now to give to those that are in need. I can either yield these to the wrong spirit and steal, or I can yield them to the Holy Spirit, get a job, do work, not just to pay my bills, even though my work and my check is going to help pay my bills. I'm working not to pay my bills. I'm working because work worships God. Work is a blessing to God. It's my divine design, and I'm working to get stuff so I can give stuff to people in need. In need. That's renewing your mind, even why you work. Why you work. So do something with your bodies now. Then he says, and be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. Think about that. He's talking to Christians. Don't be like the world. That means it's possible for you to be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and still look like and act like the world. Amen. He wouldn't tell us not to do something if it was impossible to do it. And I've been pastoring at this location for over 30 years now, and I've never told any of you, do not steal a camel. Why? I don't think that's possible here in Durant, Oklahoma. Now, those that are overseas, well, I'll talk to you about that later, about stealing camels. Bottom line is, do not be conformed to this world. He's telling us that's a commandment, but be transformed. Don't be conformed, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, the renewing of your mind, that you may prove now what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's not pink. Oh, everybody's been saying, man, you're using pink. That's magenta. That's my final word on that. The word conformed, I shared this, it means in the Greek, shaped like, fashioned like, molded. The world is trying to conform every one of us. And Paul says, look, don't let them conform you, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, worldliness is not the clothes we wear or the style of our hair or anything else, even at church we've heard about worldliness. Worldliness is the way you think. Well, I'm shocked I didn't get a better amen again on that. Worldliness has nothing to do with our clothes or our hair. It has everything to do with the way we think. If it was referring to our clothes, he would say, do not be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your wardrobe. He didn't say that. I don't believe Jesus dressed any differently than all those that were around him. I don't believe he stood out in a crowd because of his wardrobe or how he wore his hair or didn't wear his hair. God doesn't care about your hair and how you wear your hair. God doesn't care about the clothes we wear. That's not what makes you worldly. Just because you got holes in your jeans and ripped jeans doesn't mean you're worldly. I used to think it meant you were broke. And I had to get my mind renewed to that. I don't like holes in people's jeans, but man, I don't judge people because they got holes in their jeans or forbid anybody to be on the stage if they have holes in their jeans. I wish I had my jeans from the 70s, hallelujah. I'd be a rich man. I didn't realize how cutting edge I was. I had holes in my jeans before it was popular, hallelujah. Bottom line is makeup's got nothing to do with worldliness. The drums on the stage has nothing to do with worldliness. Amen. Ladies, I love you. Wear makeup. I got to look at you. You need to wear makeup. Just don't fall in it. Amen. Amen. Worldliness and the world. Listen, how is the world trying to conform us? By corrupting our minds. How is God going to transform us? By the renewing of our minds. And so worldliness is how you think. And again, I don't mean to offend people. I try to give examples. I try to be real about our current world, our culture. But we have been saturated for so many decades now with a culture of death that literally in some of our states in the union, in our country, here in America, laws are being passed where we can assist our parents in suicide. Assisted suicide for the for the elderly. Saints, that is corrupt. That is so perverse. That is so wrong at so many different levels. I cringe at the thought of the deceptiveness of the world and Satan working in the world, how he calls that now compassion. How he calls that compassion. Talk about the ultimate dishonor of your parents, to even have a thought to assist them to take their own life. Aren't you glad your parents were smarter than that and they didn't help assist you when you were suicidal going through your teen years? I'm glad for my wife that didn't assist me when I was suicidal when my kids were going through their teen years. That's disgusting. And yet something's wrong with me when I stand up against this stuff and say, that is not God's thoughts and that is not God's ways. The elderly, when they get old, they already feel worthless. They already feel devalued. They already feel like they don't have a purpose. And to even think we would think of suggesting assisting them in taking their lives. And again, people get offended when I go over that and try to help you with that. Even old, I don't know what old is. I don't know what the line is on old. All I know is old is when you reach down to pull the wrinkles out of your socks and you ain't got none on. That's old. Old is when you bend down to tie your shoes and while you're bent down, you think, is there anything else I need to do while I'm down here? That's old. I can't imagine the thought of killing our parents. Listen, God loved me so much, He didn't want me to kill my parents. He wanted me in their latter years to pay them back. I told them what cartoons they could watch and not watch. I told them what they're going to eat, and they're going to eat everything on their plate. I told them what time they're going to bed. Man, some of you, you are messed up in your thinking. You need to let your parents get old and payback comes. Amen? Come on, somebody. You need to help me with that one. That's good thinking. All I know is all the things in this world are corrupt, and it's corrupting good Christians' minds. Do you know, in the 70s even, when the abortion thing was at its height, you know what the main argument for abortion was? You know what their foundational pillar for abortion was? It was that a woman has a right to her own body. That is such a corruption of truth. That is such a lie and a falsehood. And anyone who goes to a good church and anyone who's read the Word of God looking for God's thoughts versus our thoughts knows that 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says that Jesus died not just to save our spirits, but that He bought our spirit and our bodies, which are His. Our bodies belong to Jesus, not ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says that your bodies, ladies, belong to your husband. Amen. Sue doesn't have a right to her own body. Her body belongs to God, and her body belongs to me. My body belongs to her. That's why I've got 4 kids. Sue couldn't keep her hands off of me. Oh, come on. Father, thank you for healing me of dyslexia. I'm healed. In Jesus' name. Bottom line is, I'm not saying those things to upset people. I'm trying to show you a way the world thinks that leads to death and corruption of life itself to God's thoughts, God's Word. God's Word is His thoughts. Look at Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 11. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man is what? His thoughts. I've been pastoring for over 3 decades, and I can count on one hand how many people I've lovingly confronted. Confront's too strong of a word, but they were in wickedness. They were living in wickedness, outright wickedness. And I confronted them in love over it. I can count on one hand how many people have bowed up at me in those settings. Hundreds, maybe thousands of people have admitted, this is wrong, and I'm sorry, Pastor, would you help me work it out? Absolutely, I'm not condemning you even for a wicked way. But we don't tend to defend in the church. Now, in the world, they defend wicked ways. In the church, we don't tend to defend wicked ways, but we won't forsake unrighteous thoughts. And that's what's crippling us. He says, let him return to the Lord. So what kept us from the Lord? Wicked ways and unrighteous thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways, or my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now watch this. For as the rain comes down from heaven and snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. God wants me to be a faithful pastor and keep sending the word into your heart. Keep sending the word into your heart. Why? God's word is his ways. Listen, and God's word is his thoughts. We've got God's thoughts in our laps. We've got God's thoughts on screens. And we don't have to be confused. The world says this. And Proverbs 14 and Proverbs 16 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The world sounds convincing. The world and the devil in the world has packaged lies and falsehoods where they sound true. And we have to be willing to displace ours and the world's thoughts and replace them with God's thoughts. And dear ones, I'm here to tell you, God has something to say about every issue of your life. He's answered every problem we have in our culture. There is not a problem in our culture that God hadn't given his thoughts and the world given us their thoughts. The world has thoughts about every issue, and God has thoughts about every issue, and you and I have to learn to discern that's the world's thoughts, or that's my old way of thinking, and now I don't understand what God means totally by this. I don't get it fully, but I'm going to accept God's thoughts over the world's thoughts. Amen. Wow. It really is that simple. Now, that's not easy. And I still go through daily this process of I'm thinking a certain way and I'm realizing, wait a minute, that's an old worldly path, thought pattern. And I've got to displace that. You know, things have gotten so much better. I'm enjoying pastoring like I never dreamed I could. I love our church. I mean, I just love assembling. I love sharing. Man, the first few years, it was like a battle zone at church. It was like I was standing up here and there's this huge crane with this big ball and I'm smashing people's heads every service. And I'm not talking about just worldly thoughts, but listen, I'm talking about religious thoughts. Do you know how many people are bound and ensnared because of their thinking about God is wrong? Amen. I'd tell people God wills to heal you. No, he doesn't. They'd fight me. And I just would have to hammer their head. With God wills to heal you and he wills to bless you. No, he don't. I even remember people fighting me over God. God loves you. I'd tell people God loves them and they'd hit me up after the service. God doesn't love everybody. Well, yes, he does. Well, God doesn't love me. Yes, he does love you. Amen. People's thinking about God, that he's the one killing your kids. God's not killing any of your kids. God's not putting cancer on you. God's not making you sick. God's not mad at you anymore. God never leaves or forsakes you. Some people really have been taught and they had tracks in their brain that the minute they sinned, God left them. And they had to go through some ritual of repentance to get God back. God never leaves you if you sin. Uh-oh, don't make me bring the crane out. Everybody knows God will never leave or forsake you and that he doesn't leave you if you sin. It's him with you that's convicting you over your sin. It's only him that can get you out of your sin. It's the only him that can get you over it and break the patterns. So anyway, we've got to forsake unrighteous thoughts, our own and the world's. And the world's. All right, we'll come back to that one. He says, we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. Renovate. That means displace and replace. And again, it's not always easy. I'm going to get into the essentials of mind renewal in our next session. And I'm telling you, I can't wait to go over this because over the years, I've asked God, help me with my own transformation, obviously. But why are some of my friends not progressively going through a transformation, I found out that repenting of your unrighteous thoughts is the most radical, hard thing you'll ever do. It is hard to be humble enough to go, my thinking wasn't right. We are so proud of our thoughts. We're so proud of our knowledge in our world today that, man, it takes a humble heart to go, you know what? My thinking's not right on that. And that's why a lot of people are never transformed. Man, it's a renovation. It's ripping out the old and replacing the new. It's a continual process, a lifetime journey. And your mind, whether you know it or not, and God's thoughts in your life are under constant assault. It doesn't take 2 minutes. I can watch what is commonly called the 6 o'clock news, and I can't make it 2 minutes into the news without just the corruption and the falsehood. I feel so sorry for President Trump, but he is so late to the fake news revelation. And look at the assault on that man, because he knows the news is fake. Do you know most of the young people today can't even... You all right? Everybody okay? Why are you clapping? I always say his name wrong. I got help. But Walter Cronkite, I remember preaching, and people thinking what Walter Cronkite, what he said was gospel. They believed everything he said, and then I was under suspect reading the Bible to them. I'm telling you, you're not getting news. News is the accurate account of an event reported. There's none of that out there. And yet people believe what the New York Times says. They think it's gospel, and whatever it says is the truth and unassailable. They think, again, that anchor on the 6 o'clock news really loves you, cares about you, and is trying to get you information. They're propagandizing the whole culture. Most of it's corrupt. It's fake news because it's not news at all. And yet, how many of you believe what you hear on TV, but you won't read the Bible and believe what God says? I'm not being mean. I'm saying I'm going with God. I'm going with God. Corruption everywhere. Our politicians at large are corrupt. I'm not saying all of them, just most of them are corrupt. Preachers today are corrupt. I'm not saying all of them, just most of them. We have to know what God's word says in these last days, and we got to let God be true and every man a liar. That's what the scriptures say. And yet, man, I talk to people and I'm going, where did you get this thinking? Well, this is what the college professor said. I'm not attacking college professors. We need them. But we don't need them attacking our faith every single hour while our young people are on that campus. We're sending our children to these college campuses to get an education in a trade or a field so they can be successful in executing that education, not to be propagandized and attacked in their faith. And yet many of our college campuses just assault God's word. And again, I'm not being mean in that. I'm saying we've got to get our children better prepared in what God has said about life so that they can prosper in those settings. You can't be a disciple of Jesus unless you continue in his word. Jesus said, if you're my disciple, you'll continue in my word and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, if knowing the truth makes me free, what do all these lies do? They ensnare us and they destroy us. John 17:17, this is Jesus speaking. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If you want to know what the truth is about anything, we need God's thoughts on it. And it's called the word of God. In Ephesians 4:21, it says the truth is in Jesus. And so we're going to spend some time on that. Man's solutions for sin is no solution at all. Man talks about how he has an answer to all of our problems, and man's thoughts, man's ways, independent of God, lead to death. We need to know God's thoughts and God's ways about our homes, our kids, our marriages, our finances, and on I could go. Man's quest for happiness and peace is found only in God. I beseech you, I'm begging you, give me your heart for just a minute. You're never going to be happy without God in your life. You're never going to find true peace without God in your life. We are designed to live in union with Christ, with God. God breathed the breath of life in us. He didn't intend for us to live life without Him. and without knowing him. God is the only fuel we can run on in this life. Think about that for a minute. God is the only fuel we can run on in this life and be happy and be fruitful and successful and functional. A car is designed a certain way to run on a certain thing. And the octane or the gasoline may have different grades of 87 on one and 93 on another and supreme grade on this, but the car still runs and functions on gasoline. It won't run on water. Why? Because water's bad and water's wrong? No, it's not designed for it. It won't run on orange juice. It won't run on grapefruit juice. It'll only run on gasoline. Listen, you won't run in this life without God. You need God in every area of your life. And if we could just see this by revelation, that God's not trying to get us to quit sinning because he doesn't want us to have fun. He knows sin is killing us. It's destroying us. And everything pure and decent. And so he's calling us to himself. All right. Prove means demonstrate, test, or experience. All right, the word I want to get to is transformed. In the Greek, the word transformed is the Greek word metamorpho. Metamorpho, that's the Greek word for that word transformed or changed. We get our English word from that Greek word, and that word is metamorphosis. And everyone within the sound of my voice surely knows what a metamorphosis is. A metamorphosis is the radical change in the structure of an animal by a supernatural means. That's what a metamorphosis is. And how many of you know it's a radical change to go from a caterpillar to a butterfly? It's a radical change to go from a tadpole to a bullfrog. And it's supernatural. And yet God uses that example in connection with our minds being renewed. I was taught that the caterpillar and the butterfly were an illustration that was connected to the new birth. The Bible doesn't connect metamorphosis or metamorpha with the new birth. It connects it with the renewing of our minds. The new birth is instant. The new birth is a flash. I mean, the minute you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you're brave enough to confess him as Lord of your life, you get born again. But mind renewal, it's radical. And it's a process. It's simple, but not easy. How many of you know a caterpillar turning into a butterfly takes time and pressure? It has to spin a cocoon. It has to stay in that cocoon for a number of days. And it has to begin to resist pressure and yield. And resist and yield. To go from immaturity to maturity is a process of yielding, resisting, and yielding, and then resisting and yielding. And it finally breaks out of the cocoon, and here's this beautiful creature that knew it was a butterfly on the inside as a caterpillar, but couldn't prove it. How many of you know that the wings did not come from without? The wings were on the inside of the caterpillar. The freedom to fly and not be bound by the earth was on the inside of the caterpillar, but it couldn't prove it. It couldn't experience it till it went through a metamorphosis. But once it went through a metamorphosis, it broke into liberty, freedom, and flight, and is one of the most beautiful creatures on the planet. A tadpole, watch this. A tadpole in its immature state is restricted to the aquatic world. It is limited to the underwater aquatic world. And if you take a tadpole out of water before a metamorphosis, it'll die. But if it stays in the water and that aquatic world, even though it's limited to it, it can go through a metamorphosis. And now, listen, it becomes a bullfrog and it can experience two worlds. It can still experience the underwater aquatic world, but it can also function and experience the atmospheric world. Why do so many believers remain bound by the natural world, even when they get born again and spirit-filled? They're not willing to go through the metamorphosis. But if you go through mind renewal, if you go through the metamorphosis, you'll go from a tadpole to a bullfrog. You'll go from one world and limited to it to experiencing another world and operating proficiently in both worlds. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be limited to this natural world and my five physical senses and my intellect. I know there's a world with power and blessings and righteousness, a kingdom that I'm a member of and that's on the inside of me. Where did the tadpole get its legs? Where did the tadpole get its croaker? None of it came from without. All of it was within. Everything you need is on the inside of you in Christ Jesus. How you get it out is through the renewing of your mind now and going through a metamorphosis. Hallelujah. Man, I don't know what to say to you, but my heart, I love what I do, and I may not be as good at it as I need to be or even want to be, but I'm telling you, my heart burns, and let me give you a synopsis of what I want for every one of you. I just want to see you hopping and croaking. I want to see you hopping and croaking. I want to see you flying and the beauty that Jesus says put on the inside of you come forth to the outside. Well, you're not just blessed inside with your union with Christ, but you're a blessing to your spouse, to your children, to your co-workers, to our culture. While it's a culture of death, we're supposed to be culture carriers of life and light. And that's all in Jesus. And the only reason it's not happening is people refuse to change their minds. They're still thinking the way they used to think before they got saved, and they're proud of their thinking. Or they don't realize how much the world is affecting your thinking. And I'm not saying mind over matter now. I'm saying your mind matters. And I'm saying if we'll yield our minds to God, I'm telling you, He's got great things for each and every one of us. And I just pray that you give me your heart today and that you give God your heart by giving Him your thoughts and your ways and watch Him change your life. Amen? Amen. I haven't gone to the takeaway at all. They don't even have it. Number one, for our life groups, quickly, please, guys. Mind renewal takes us from immaturity to maturity, from a caterpillar to a butterfly, from a tadpole to a bullfrog. The change is a process. It's not instant. It never ends. And then the last one, the change comes from within, not from without. See, the world tries to conform you from without. God wants to transform you from within. And that's what we'll talk about. Anybody get blessed today? Amen. Father, I love you so much. We love you so much. And Lord, there are many things in our lives that, boy, it's a train wreck. It's an absolute train wreck. But you haven't left or forsook us. You are with us. You are speaking to us. You're leading and guiding. Help us to make good thought choices. Help us to make good decisions based on your thoughts, based on your ways. Help us to have the courage of our convictions. Help us to have the ability by your amazing grace to displace those old thoughts. Quit agreeing with the God of this world and start agreeing with the God of the Bible. And I just thank you for that power, that willingness in every heart. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God.